Hey, Merry Christmas. It's lovely to have you here. And just to thank the team that's behind the scenes, the worship team, there's been a lot of people involved. And just really want to say a big thanks to them. The sad thing, Jess did the video recording. And the sad thing is we would normally have a lot of kids here. And we often talk about our Christmas service and really make it about the kids. And so I missed that. And what Pastor Mike used to do is interview people with different gifts. That you would have got, and the kids' reactions. Some were like, "Mom hasn't let me open them yet." Anyone had that? Anyone at home? That you know, kids are there. You're waiting for the service to finish. You're waiting for me to finish preaching before you can open the gifts that you're staring at in the corner of your eye. If you're at home, it's a good thing I'm only preaching for an hour. Then. But we miss that. But we love it. We love the fact that we can be together as a family from young to old. And to worship together and to welcome those that are here in the service. If you're here for the first time, it's lovely to have you here. If you're tuning in online as a family that is there, extended family, it's great to have such technology that we can do this and connect. And also, if you're on the line for the first time, welcome to our family. It's lovely to have you here this Christmas. Now, Pastor Paul put me in charge. He said, "I'm going to leave you over Christmas time and you're going to have to preach a series on Christmas and it's going to be tough." And he didn't lie about that. So I kind of asked him for a bit of guidance. I said, "You know, what must I preach on Christmas Day?" And he said, "Whatever you do, preach a down-to-earth message." Isn't that what Christmas is really about? I mean, down to earth. Anyway, so I've tried my best, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, a very different occurrence. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. Now, I don't know if any of you have opened your Christmas presents yet. You've been anticipating. Maybe you've been given a hint the whole time. The last number of months, you've been opening catalog magazines, circling them. You've been accidentally leaving your Take-A-Lot wish list open just so your husband will get an idea. And there's a pair of shoes you've wanted. Okay, and you've seen them, Aldo's, and they're there, and exactly what you want. You've left all the hints. You've kind of dragged your husband to the shops. You've like, "Look, this is the pair I want." Kind of hints, highlight. And you look under the Christmas tree this morning, and you saw this box. Did he get my hint? This must be it. You know, and so you look, and it comes to your turn to open that Christmas box, and the Christmas gift, and you start unwrapping it. It's a bit of weight in it. It's a little bit heavier than shoes should actually feel. And so you think, okay, well, maybe he's added something else into this. And you've unwrapped this present to find it's not the shoes you hoped for, but an iron. Anyone had despair with a gift before? Anticipation of something like, "I really, really want this. Maybe they've got this clue. They've got the hint. This is what I want." Drop moment. Maybe you've given a gift with absolute encouragement. You're like, "This is going to be the gift that they're going to love. I've got it this year. I've nailed it." And my parents often remind me of this. They bought me a fancy pedal go-kart, and all I did is spent the whole Christmas morning playing with the box that it came in. Anyone had that? Given a gift, and it's like, not the reaction I hoped for. We have this despair. Maybe this year of 2020 has been like that for you. We left 2019 going, "Sure, what a rough year. I cannot wait for 2020. And now we're saying, "I cannot wait for 2021. Almost with this anticipation that masks are going to disappear at 11 o'clock. Going to vanish. And the situation is just going to completely be reset at 2021. Maybe in 2020 we had so many hopes and excitements and plans, and this is what we were going to do, and this is the year it's going to be. But what a year it has been. A year maybe not of what we hoped for. Maybe a year of discouragement, despair. We have seen such a pandemic across the world that is still impacting us. We've seen an economical regression in that. And such time, we've seen job losses, we've seen decreases, we have seen just poverty like we haven't known it for a long time. We've seen racism starting to ear up and come out, not just in our country, but in many of the other countries. What a year it has been. Maybe you're feeling at a place of despair. Well, we have been talking in this series about a gift exchange. And God gives us, you know, if we give God a gift of despair, God gives us back His abiding hope. Isn't it incredible in who He is? Proverbs says this, "A hope deferred makes the heart sick, but the longing fulfilled is a tree of life." If we don't have hope, we will soon die. Leads to despair, discouragement. We lead to a place where we feel broken. They talk about those who were in prisoners of war in World War II and Vietnam and various things. And as they were prisoners of war, what would happen is they would try to break any hope that would be in the people. And those who clung to a hope of rescue would survive that war camp. But those who didn't soon gave up. Have we been in a year where we're feeling absolute despair? A hope deferred makes the heart sick. God, it hasn't worked the way I thought it would. It hasn't been the year I thought it would. It hasn't been the Christmas that I thought it would. I have pictured myself on the beach right now. You know, what has it been? But yet we see God doing something incredible. Do you know that Christmas this year has come at the most perfect timing? Have you felt that? Easter came at the most perfect timing too. Never before has the internet ever been so saturated with the gospel as churches were forced to go online. And so is the time that we need to be reminded of the hope we have in Him. So what is hope? Well, there's a difference between a worldly hope and a godly hope. See, a worldly hope is something that's not quite, we can really be certain on. I hope the weather is great. What did the weatherman say? As if his word is going to be certain. We just phone, they used to phone our family and say, "Are you Brian today? Because if you're Brian, we know it's going to rain." Yeah. We hope, I'm hoping for a better year next year. I'm hoping this will take place. I'm hoping. But there's no certainty in it. I read this quote. It said, "Probably nothing in the world arises more false hope than the first hour of a diet. Nothing before has ever aroused more false hope than the first hour of a diet." Anyone got New Year's resolutions on that? A little boy once said, it said, "Hope is wishing for something you know ain't going to happen." That's a worldly hope. But a godly hope, a spiritual hope, means to look forward expectantly for God's future activity. See, it's trusting in not just anyone, but being certain in who God is. It's an anchoring in Him. In fact, it's binding. It's almost as Ecclesiastes talks about the three cords that wind. It's letting God be involved and wound into our life, anchored into the hope we have in Him. And you know what? When we cling to God's word and to God's promises, anyone who has ever hoped in those words or those promises has never, ever been disappointed. So where's our hope? Well, there are two characters that I want to read about that had an incredible hope. They should be part of the nativity scene. In fact, this is Luke's first recorded song. If you look at some of the timeline kind of guidance, this would be probably before the wise men even visited Jesus. And so we pick up from Luke chapter 2 from verse 22, and it says this, "When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took them to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. a pair of doves, two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. He had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do what was custom of the law required, Simeon would take him into his arms and praise God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, who was the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She had never left the temple courts but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So the context here is Jesus has been born, as you know, in Bethlehem. He would have, after 8 days, he would have been circumcised. And by the 40th day, when he was 40 days old, his parents would bring him through to the temple. And there would be a few key things of what they would do. One is Mary was classified as impure. And so she would come and bring a sacrifice offering for purity. It was part of the custom of the law of Moses. They would also, Jesus being the firstborn, would represent him, almost a dedication to the Lord, as Hannah did. Saying, "God, reminded that you took out all those who were firstborn in Egypt, and you saved the Israelites by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I'm presenting my first child, firstborn, to you." That's what would have happened. Joseph and Mary were obedient to the law. But what do we see about these two characters? Simeon, we see, hoped for comfort and rest. You see, we're told not too much about him because Luke is not focusing on that. He's talking about the fact that he was righteous and devout. He was obedient to God. He was a man who relied on the Holy Spirit. He was a man that sought after righteousness, led by God, we're told. He was led to the temple at this time. It was key. He was waiting for the consolidation of Israel. He was waiting for the comfort. He was waiting for the suffering that had happened over the many, many years and now by the hands of the Romans. He was waiting for God's kingdom to come. And God had promised him this, that he would see the Messiah before he died. And so we see that he gets to see Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, comes to the parents, meets with them, and he turns around, "Lord, may I depart." What's this word, depart, here? It means to be released. God, what my purpose was in life, I've released. I'm free. I've finished. I've seen what you've got in plan, what you've got in store. God, I am ready to be in your arms today. He desired that comfort and that rest, that God's hand was in control, that God had everything and he could just rest in who God is. Well, what was Mary and Joseph's response? Here's the strange guy, and almost the reaction here is grabbing Jesus, embracing Jesus, and he has these words of singing, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing for you, but starts to sing and praise, and here's the spectacle. Mary and Joseph are told that they are marveled. So it's like, whoa, what's kind of happened to the little boy that was born in a manger? What happens to this child? What's going on? We're told about poverty and the fact that they would normally have sacrificed something greater, but if you were poor, it would be two doves. And this is what they're bringing as the sacrifice into this poverty. And yet they marveled at what Simeon has to say. God, what have you got in plan? Maybe the prophecies came through for them. Maybe the reminder that, wow, God is really doing something here. They marveled at him. Goes on that Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child will be destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and it will be a sign to those spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own souls too. Well, Simeon goes and blesses them, but focuses and turns on towards Mary, maybe because Mary, being aware of the prophecy, the virgin birth that takes place, or the fact that we don't see Joseph later on in life, maybe Simeon knowing that, turns to Mary and kind of gives three symbols. One that of a stone. The one that would cause the falling and the rising of the people of Jerusalem, of Israel. See, what that means, and the same with the sign, those who would test and their hearts would be revealed, means that we've got to choose either to build our life on Christ or to stumble and fall. To have a hope that is anchored on Him and who He is, or to stumble and fall. See, there's no middle ground here. Either you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you don't. There's no waiting for later. Are we building our life on Him? Do you know Him as your Lord? And we've seen in this world that there are many that have stumbled and fallen over the very issue of who Christ is. Are we building our lives on Him as the rock? We see also the sword. Mary would experience incredible suffering. Stabbed in the side. She would experience suffering as she wrestled with who Christ is, who Jesus is. She would have wrestled with the turmoil of seeing her little boy up on the cross, dying for the sins of this world. That's who she would have seen. What incredible prophecy Simeon must have given her. That as she stood there, she remembered the suffering, remembered the awe that she had, how she marveled when Simeon prophesied in who Christ is. He is the light to the Gentiles. We see Anna. Anna hoped for redemption. It says there was a prophet also, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, and the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, we're told. She was an old lady. We don't know how old exactly. You can start to do mass sums here, whether she was a widow for 84 or whether she had been, she was in the hundreds. We don't know, because that's not the focus here. Is that she was devout, like we see with Simeon. She clung to the Lord. She had been married for 7 years and then became a widow. And so her dependency, her reliance was God, and she spent and devoted all her time that she had at the temple. Whether it was the full days, the whole night sleeping there in a room separate, it doesn't matter. But what we see is that she was looking for God. She knew that Israel was broken. Israel was in its place that it has because of the very sin that it had done, rejecting God. It was in captivity, and she knew that God needed to be placed first. And she was looking for that redemption that would come. And she almost, we see this abruptly kind of buffers in, just as Simeon is busy talking. She jumps in and she starts declaring to all that are around, starts to shout and call upon all to see who Jesus is. See, she was looking to the Lord for redemption. Redemption meant a number of things, and the whole symbol of bringing Jesus to the temple was about that, how Jesus had redeemed the Israelites from Egypt. That was the whole symbol of it. She was looking to this redemption that Jesus was going to bring about. Well, what does this redemption mean? Well, when there's redemption, it means that somebody is bound to sin. Something has happened. Caught in. Trapped in a sinful nature. And to get rid of that would cost Jesus' very life. A sacrifice need to be made. And with that became an ownership. Christ has bought us at a price. We are His children. And we cling to Him. Matthew 1 verse 21 says this, "She gave birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's what he does for us. And Anna was looking to this, the redemption of Israel. So, how do we pull this together? What do these two stories mean for us? Well, firstly, we need to know that God knows what we need. We need to know that God knows that what we need. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for many bumper stickers say, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope." The ESV version. See, God knows what we need. Simeon was looking for comfort and rest. And maybe that's you right now. This year has been so rough. The turmoil has been so great. The Zoom conversations have been too many. And you're in a place where you're going, "God, I just cannot go on." You've had incredible loss. And it's just been loss after loss after loss. And all your hope seems to have vanished and disappeared. And you are like Simeon and saying, "God, I long for your comfort. I long for your rest. I long to be with you." You know that God knows your heart. He knows how you are broken. He knows how you are weary. He knows what's going on. He knows how you feel like you sometimes just can't go on. Matthew 11 verse 28 says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God knows what you need. He knows that. He knows that sometimes we might need redemption. Maybe you're at a place where you have such incredible guilt. You've gotten caught up. This year you desire to be a year that was for the Lord. And God, I want to be used by you. God, I want to do things for you. And you found yourself trapped in the very same sins. Carrying on and moving away from Him. And you're longing for that redemption. "Oh God, if you can only restore my soul. God, I long for you." Well, Mark 10 verse 45 says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." If you're looking for that restoration, if you are looking for that redemption, you find that through the cross. Stop trying to kind of walk away from it, but walk to the cross. Because our hope of redemption is not found in other things or in the works we do, but in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Look to the cross. Look to Him. Secondly, what do we need to do to hold on to hope? Well, we see a few things here. We see the first thing is worship. Anna and Simeon, and particularly Simeon, comes up and he worships the Lord. Here's this praise song. "God, here you've done. Look, I've been able to see. Here's the light to the Gentiles. Lord, this is who He is." And when we're in a place of hopelessness, I want to encourage you, worship God. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're made to be. As creation just echoes who God is. Just go look at the ocean when you're allowed to. And won't get imprisoned for it. And just watch the waves crashing against the rocks. Is it not echoing how glorious our God is? If you go to the mountains and look at the distance, incredible splendor. Does it not echo who God is? Well, when we're in a place of hopelessness, let's not move in towards ourselves, but let us echo in who God is. This is how great you are. Worship the Lord. Worship Him through song. Worship Him through your lifestyle. Worship Him through prayer. And remember God's faithfulness. I want to encourage you, when you're in a place of despair, be reminded through the Word and through testimony how good and great is our God. Cling to Him. Worship Him with our very lifestyles. And that sometimes means getting back into a place of repentance. Or even turning around and saying, Jesus Christ, I call you to be my Lord and Savior. You died on the cross for me, for my sins. Do we need to repent and come back to say, God, I've moved away from you? Or maybe you need to get in place and say, God, I've been denying you for so long. I want to trust that you are my Lord and Savior. We need to worship Him. We need to witness for Him. See, our world is in a place of hopelessness. We're looking to hope in vaccines, in breathable masks, in so many different things. Hope that the economy will recover. Hope in politicians. But our hope is actually to be anchored in Him. That's where it's to be. And what an incredible opportunity we have to be able to witness, testify about the hope that we have in Christ. A hope that is certain. So let us witness through our words, through our lifestyles, through our action, and through how we place our trust and where we place our trust in. See, Simeon declares Jesus is the light, and this world is in a place of darkness, and they need to see the light. They need to see Jesus. An incredible opportunity we have is to also to witness through giving hope to others. I am so blessed to be a part of a church that is so, so giving and generous. The fact that so much of our money actually doesn't stay in this building but goes out onto the mission field. We're so blessed by watching the COVID fund that came into the church and the pastoral care fund, and to be able to, blessing of being able to distribute that and see that through RME and her team, and to see the impact that that's made. Giving hope to others. Let's not hold on to it. What can we do? This morning for our Christmas offering, we're going to be taking up for the Durbanville Trust. And it's an incredible organization that does many things, but the area we're focusing on is pastors that have gone into retirement, that have no pension funds, are living on bare minimum, and through strategic and strict plans, stringent plans, the Durbanville Trust has been able to aid some of those pastors that has given so much for the number of years. And so our offering this morning will be going towards that. I know I'll ask the broadcasting team to put up the snap scan and the banking details if you want to do it online. And if you are in the church building and you don't want to use the electronic means, we do have our offerings, the safe that's in the corner here. You're welcome to put it in there. And all the funds given today, if you designated and mark it as Christmas, go towards the Durbanville Trust. Being a church that doesn't hold onto the funds but gives it out. So we witness by giving hope to others as well. Jesus is the light. Then we hold on to hope by how? By waiting. That sounds really hard. I'm waiting for 2021 and hopefully things will be reset. No, I'm waiting on the Lord. I know He is to return. Incredibly, He is coming back. I know that this world is broken. And we can see it. But I know He is coming. and the promise. And I know one day I will spend eternity with him in heaven. And that is where I anchor my hope in. Just as Simeon and Anna had waited many, many years of their lives, let's continue to wait on the Lord. Don't run to other things. Wait on him. What will help us in our waiting? Read the scriptures. Nothing better than to be reminded of God's promises and seeing the very answers in there. Those who cling on to the promises of God are never disappointed. Those who cling on to the promises of God are never disappointed. So where are you today? And where is your hope? Because God wants to give you his hope, an absolute hope. And he wants to take that discouragement and that despair from us. But it means placing our trust in him. Where's your trust this morning? For God knows what you need to hold on. I want to end this with Titus chapter 2 from verse 11. And it says this: "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." So why? Waiting for our blessed hope. When we cling to God, when we put God first, we're able to wait on the blessed hope. The appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify himself for a people of his own possession who are zealous for good works. Let's place our hope in him. As the worship team comes up, I'd love to pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for who you are. Lord, that you are greater than any word or any description and anything we can say. And we see how creation just echoes who you are. And Lord, let us be reminded of your faithfulness, that from the very start of creation, Jesus wasn't second plan, but always the plan. And as we are reminded that you sent your Son to die for us, the promise that was awaited, the promise we get to experience today. So we thank you. Oh God, I pray for those that are far from you, that are a place of seeking redemption. I pray that you would speak into our hearts, calling us back to you. And I pray for those that are a place that are needing comfort and rest. The hurt has been great. The burden has been heavy. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that we can come to you and find rest. And we pray that that would be known. In your name, amen.